Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. Welcome to Eastwood. We're so glad you're here. Another beautiful day, right? Yes. This is when we take photos and we'd send them to our friends in Southern California to show them that leaves actually do turn. And it's spectacular. And yesterday, Don actually got a picture after he had raked and used the leaf blower. And he actually got a picture of the cascading leaves coming down when that big swirly, you know. Yeah. So that happens as well. But we're so, so happy that you're here. If you're visiting us for the first time, stick your hand up quickly and one of the ushers will bring you a little welcome booklet about Eastwood and what we do here. And we're so glad you're here again. Please fill out the yellow cards. There are several ways we want to know if you'll be available to participate. You can see those things in the bulletin. And you can put it in the offering plate. We're doing this a little differently. We're not collecting them at the end of the service. We're putting them in the offering plate again, which is helpful. So take a look and fill that out, please. There are a couple of announcements in the bulletin, so I'm just going to highlight a few of those. One of our songs is an insert, and that's His Mercy Is More. So make note of that. There will come a moment after the sermon when we take out His Mercy Is More and sing that. But you can see that our Thanksgiving dinner is coming up on November 24th. It'll be right after the worship service. Again, this is for the yellow card. Make sure you put two or one for the Thanksgiving dinner after church. So we want to make sure we have plenty of food for everybody who wants to come, plus a little extra. We always do that too. There's a thank you from the College and Career Military Care Team that put together. They wanted to thank all of you for donating so generously to that. There are several ways to give. This is the time of year when we all know that there are certainly needs out there as the weather is getting colder and the holidays are coming up. So you can see the teddy bear ministry is happening, and that includes donating stuffed animals. You can talk to Marilyn about that, but make note of that. Also, the knitters and crocheters are at it again, crocheting hats for people through the Maslow Project. So Barbara Davis or Joanne Avery would be the people to contact for that if you are a knitter. There's a new adult Sunday school class that's just been formed studying the parables, so you can take a look at that as well. The Salvation Army is looking for bell ringers. And again, there will be a sign-up area out there in the Welcome Center for you if you're interested in that. Take a look at the other opportunities of the week. One more note I was just handed. If you are coming in volunteering at church, make sure that when you are done with your work in the church buildings, lock the doors when you leave. That's super crucial. Thank you for all of your labors, the good things that you do. Just make sure to lock up. We have the call to worship. Would you stand, please?
Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Please join us, song number 35, Morning Has Broken.
Morning has broken. Mine is the sunlight. praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day.
Let's pray, please. Oh God, you alone exist in the beginning. You alone are the Alpha and Omega, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. You alone transcend and embrace even time itself. You alone choose to create all things, to make a world, to glorify yourself, and to receive your love. You alone, in the mystery of your sovereignty, chose us even before the creation of the world to belong to you as your special, beloved children. We are amazed, awestruck, humbled, beloved, and we bow before you alone. Amen. Please turn in your hymnals to page 651 and sing with us, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise."
Forward. Let's pray. Father of all things, we come before you this day to offer just a portion of the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Use these gifts to sustain, nurture, and further the spreading of the gospel throughout our community, our nation, and our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I know we have children back in the nursery that are on their way, but I was just going to invite any others out here, but I'm not seeing any children over here. I'm not seeing any children over here. There they are. Hi. Come on up, gang. Come on up. Can you guys sit down here? Awesome. I got something to show you. Do you know what this is? It's a pen. That's right. This is a pen that I made. I have a machine called a lathe, and it spins it really fast, and then I use a knife to cut it, but it's got a long handle, so it's like this. Now, I want to show you something in this pen. Do you see this line right there? Do you see that line right there? Oh, you better be careful. Do you see the line running through there? You know what that is? That's a crack. It's a crack. Well, that crack was in the wood there. Now, when I looked at this piece of wood, I thought, boy, it's got a crack in it. Should I use it or not? And I decided to use it because I thought, well, I can always fill the crack. You know what I filled it with?
What?
Super glue. You ever use super glue?
Yeah. Yeah. I would stick your fingers together.
I did, too. I stuck my fingers together. I got my two fingers stuck together like this, and I had to pull and pull and pull, and eventually it came apart. It kind of hurt a little bit when I did that. Do you know why I use this wood with cracks? Because sometimes, especially with wood, it's the things that you would consider a weakness, like a crack, that make it pretty. I think having that crack there just gives it one more interesting thing to look at and makes it prettier. You know, sometimes people look at us and they say, oh, like, here, take a look at me. Look at my nose. I have a big nose, don't I? Yeah. I also have a big nose that turns this way just a little bit. It's not very straight, is it?
Yeah, it's like goes down a little bit.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Paul was one of the apostles. He was one of the messengers of Jesus. He once says here, that experience is worth boasting about. He was talking about this really great thing that happened. He said, that was worth boasting about, but I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to brag. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to boast in Jesus, and I'm going to boast in my weaknesses, because it's my weaknesses. It's the things where I seem weak, where God gets seen. It's like these beautiful things that are like breaks, like cracks in this pan. It's where we see Jesus. So it's okay that I have a broken nose, because God gets glorified through it. It's okay that I wear glasses, because God gets seen through that. Will you guys help me remember that in the weaknesses in our lives, that's often where we see God, okay? So let's pray, okay? Can you help me pray? Let's close our eyes, bow our heads.
Like this.
Yep. Thank you, Lord, for making us how we are made and for giving us those weaknesses that just show your beauty and your strength. Lord, bless us, keep us, watch over us, and help us to remember to love you, we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can head back to the children's room. Do you need a hand? You got it? All right.
Only for you. fruitful in you.
The scripture reading for today is taken from Malachi 1:6 through 2:9 in the New International Version. A son honors his father and a slave his mother. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt in your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden! And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifice a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be honored among the nations. And now, you priest, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on their faces the dung from the festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this warning so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This call for reverence, he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, because he is the messenger of the Lord Almighty, and people seek instruction from his mouth. But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have cursed you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law.
This has been a busy week. Wednesday, we had Bible study and fellowship meal, then choir practice, and then last night we had progressive dinner. Really good dinner, really nice. And we moved from the Lectrich's home, and where Ellen and Sue made all these wonderful appetizers, to the Thayer's house, where Kathy had made this delicious salad with figs in it, and then the root vegetable soup, really good. And then we moved to the Hildebrands, and we had German food. Meat stuffed in pig intestine, roasted with vegetables and other things. How good is that, right? And then we finished at our house with pumpkin pie ice cream. Sarah made chocolate chip cookies. Brenda made these raspberry coconut bars. Zane got everything set up. It was beautiful. And then I realized afterwards I hadn't written my sermon. The scripture message this week is don't cheat on God. Don't shortchange God. Thank you. You want to pray? What? Too short? Are you saying I didn't do enough? Maybe I'm shortchanging you. Fine. If you want a longer sermon, what is a prophet? We tend to think culturally of prophets as people who predict the future, because we have this idea that prophecy is a prediction of the future. The thing is, that's not what a prophet does. Or more appropriately, what prophets do is they name a problem now and they say, this is going to be the consequence. Does that make sense? So Malachi is a prophet, and Malachi is naming a problem. The priests are cheating God. And he's naming it in a way that it's almost like, well, think of it this way, okay? In Matthew 18, Matthew tells us how to handle conflict through Jesus' words. And Jesus says, first go to the person you have a problem with and tell them, Jerry, I have a problem with you. All right? And then if they don't listen, then you go to somebody else and say, hey, Don, I got a problem with Jerry. Will you go with me while we confront Jerry and you go together? Right? Now, that's not what's happening here with the prophet, right? Prophets are more like editorials to the paper. You know, when you write the article and you say, such and such has got a problem with their policy, blah, 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 blah. You name all the problems, and then you say, join with me in condemning them or vote against them at this time or let them know by calling them, blah, 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 blah. All right? Prophet, in this case, Malachi, is doing basically a public condemnation of the priests in this part to everyone. It's an open letter. Here's the problem with Malachi, though. Number one, Malachi is actually never actually named in Malachi. Every other prophet says, this is the prophecy of Jeremiah during the time of this. Malachi doesn't start that way. Malachi never names Malachi. And in fact, the Hebrew word that's being translated Malachi is messenger. We don't know specifically who Malachi was, but that's okay. We do understand the message, the prophecy, an open letter here. Priests, you are not doing it right. You're offering offerings to God that are substandard. You're offering diseased animals, sick animals, lame animals, animals with spots. This is an abomination to God. Now, let's be clear on a couple of things about the offering. First of all, priests would never offer the whole animal on the altar. They're only offering specific parts of the animal to God, right? So what do they offer? Specific fatty tissue from the inside of the animal's body. Specifically, the most holy part of the animal is the fat that grows around the kidneys of the animal. That's why it burns nicely to God, creates a pleasant smoke for God. That's the offering part. Now, also you should know that the priest in this time frame, which would have been probably right after Nehemiah was back as governor after the Babylonian captivity, in between his second governorship after the Babylonian captivity. And the priests are not offering the right offering. Where are they getting these animals in the first place? The Hebrews are bringing them to them to sacrifice. Now, here's a little other something you should know. The Hebrews at that time, the priests were also the butchers. Because every animal that was kosher had to be butchered in a specific way. And in fact, today, if you go to little towns in Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, you'll often find populations of Hasidic Jews. What? Yeah, I know. Because kosher meats still need to be butchered by priests in the appropriate way. Crazy, huh? So God's saying, my complaint is, you are not offering me the best. So we either have the population not bringing to the priest the best, and the priest accepting that, knowing they're not getting the best, or the priests are doing a little switcheroo. Let's talk about animals. God has asked for certain types of sacrifices at certain occasions. But in every case, the sacrifice needs to be a choice animal. In a way, you might think of it, if you're a meat eater, like prime rib versus non-prime rib, right? The prime label means it is the choice cut. It's rated the best. And it's not just because that cut's the best, but compared to other cuts, the same cut, different animals, this is the best, okay? That's the stuff you're supposed to give God, the best. Not spotted animals, but the clean, white ones, pure, the best. And the less than best is what's being sacrificed by the priests. Why is this happening? Why would the priests do this? And I brainstormed with the Wednesday night group about this. And really, I mean, you're down to God doesn't notice, therefore it's okay, right? God's not going to notice. We've all had kids, right? Can we have a cookie? Mom won't notice as long as we can get it out of the jar and get the jar shut, right? Mom won't notice. God doesn't care. Mom doesn't care if I have a cookie, right? But don't worry, Mom isn't there. Dad isn't there. God is not real. God will not punish us for doing what we shouldn't do. So, clergy, functioning as if, A, God doesn't notice, God doesn't care, or God isn't real. Do we have clergy who do similar things today? Clergy who act as if God doesn't care if they abuse their congregants. God doesn't notice if they abuse the trust of the people. God doesn't exist. But ministry is a place of power, privilege. You see, the Levites, they had it cushy. They did not have to work for what they got. You see, every time somebody made one of the mandatory sacrifices, the priest got to keep a portion. They got to keep a portion. And gee, you know, we don't know this is the case, but if somebody brings the best of their flock and I swap it out with this spotted one after we've butchered it, nobody's going to notice. If I keep the choice cuts for myself, nobody's going to notice. God doesn't care. It's not like God's striking me down for doing it, right? We use these kinds of logics today. I mean, trust me, there is a reason that if there is a check coming out of this church to me, I make sure that my name's not the only one signing it, because I'm authorized to sign checks. Makes me terribly uncomfortable. I make sure another signature's on there, because I do not want the appearance of impropriety. Because there have been, oh, so many pastors who abuse the privilege of being a leader. There might be other reasons the priest did this, but it's hard to come up with a good reason they would do this. God's judgment is pretty clear. There's no good reason for cheating God. So the underlying message is, priest, give God the best. And you all are sitting out there going, yeah, pastor, give God the best. Right? Why am I preaching this to you? Because we're Baptists and we happen to believe in this weird thing called the priesthood of all believers. What differentiates me as pastor from you as lay people is not my status as priest before God. I had a specific calling. God said, hey, Jeff, I want you to get up front and preach to the ministers, my ministers. You people are the priesthood now. Maybe I should be sitting down here. We should give God the best of what we have in our time, the best of what we have in our hearts, the best of what we have from our funds, from our resources. The underlying message from the prophet here is, give God the best. And why don't we give God the best? Because sometimes we think God won't notice. Sometimes we think God doesn't care. Sometimes we even question if God is real. Maybe we don't have time. Well, again, if we say we do it because we don't have time, aren't we really just saying God won't notice? Or God doesn't care? God understands. God understands the extenuating circumstances, right? This is the message out of this passage for us. Give God your best in whatever you do, in whatever you're offering, whether it be your prayers, your time, your giving in the congregation. You know, the offering plate's already come and gone. We can send it around again if you feel convicted. Let me know. Or just see Jerry Darby. He'll take any other contributions you have. Or maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, maybe I should be doing more. Because you drive down Biddle and you see people pushing shopping carts. Maybe you drive through neighborhoods on your way here and you see houses that are falling down around the people and you think, maybe we could do more. Right now, the crisis in this nation, we talked about at the gathering up in Portland last week, for the church is that church attendance in this country is down as a percentage of population. And we're not talking about a little bit. We're talking a lot. Every week, more than 300 churches close in this country. Now, that doesn't mean that people aren't starting churches. People are. But you know where churches that are growing in this country are growing? Statistically, they're not bringing in new believers. The churches that are growing in this country are growing because other churches are closing or other people are leaving the churches they're in and they're going to other churches. Churches that are growing 98% of that population either by birth of children in their congregation or people transferring in. Less than 1% are going to those congregations because they are new believers. Are we giving God the best of our time and energy? Or are we spending most of our time and energy reinforcing some of the things that we already do? When we think about the energy of the church as a whole, I look at this passage and say, how much of our energy are we giving God the best? Not just in worship, but outside these doors. If we're giving God our best outside these doors, would we be making new disciples? Would we be bringing people into a relationship with Jesus that do not have it already? I think so. We're going to talk more and more in the future about what can we do to reach more people. Because I think if we consider this the only time that we give to God, then we are not giving God our best. We're giving God the bare minimum. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for your love sometimes expressed as wrath. Because sometimes we need reminders to give you our best. And Lord, we thank you for the challenges that you sometimes call blessings and we don't get from the understanding standpoint, but they help us. And we become blessed because they help us transform into something better. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us that are clear. Even though sometimes that clearness, that clarity can feel like a cutting edge. Help us, Lord, to be conscious of what we are giving you in each moment. Are we giving you the best parts of ourselves, the best of our energy, our time, our love, our relationships, our everything? Help us to be aware of that. Transform us, we pray. We pray this, Jesus, trusting also in your grace and mercy that loves us as we don't meet the mark, but are continually encouraged. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have an insert, His Mercy is More.
Would wait as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakness, the violence, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood in the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more.
That statement right there is the beautiful counterpoint to the message. God's not so simple. It's not just all judgment. Our sins, they are many. And His mercy is more. And so if you're chewing on guilt from the message, chew on it. But also understand His mercy is more. And that's the other part of this message. That's the good news. That's the good news that leads us to the point where when we have troubles in life, when we are wrestling with life, and we go to the Lord knowing we are insufficient, God can still hear. God is not pushed away by our giving Him less than He deserves. So how can we join together in praying for you in your times of trials, tribulations, or in your celebrations of life? How can we pray with you today? There's Terry in the back. And then Mary here. Let's do Mary first. She's closer.
I have some good news. My niece, Naomi, is going to be getting a donor. It did not come from the registry. It's coming from her sister. Mm-hmm. She's only a 50% match, but the doctors are thinking that's going to be sufficient due to the new technology and medicine and treatment and everything that's out there. So we're happy for that, and I thank you all for the prayers for our family at this time.
And I think with 50% match and all of our praying, that's enough. So we will continue to pray. Terry.
I want to thank everybody for the progressive dinner last night. That was amazing, and it was fun to talk to people. And also, if people could continue to pray for my son-in-law, his appointment with the court continued to November 25th.
Whatever God's got going on there.
Yeah. It's okay. Thank you.
Yeah. We want to remember Sharabali. We'll come over to you guys next. The word came back that they cannot operate on Cheryl, that they do not think chemotherapy will help at this point. Am I close, Jan? Do you have more to...
Surgery was never an option, but we got word last week that OHSU did not have a plan. But we got an incomplete message. I just see Satan doing what he can to get us all upset, because then when she talked to the doctor does have a plan for chemotherapy and that OHSU recommended. In the process, every possible cancer cure that's out there is coming against her through friends and neighbors, and everybody says, try this, try that, go here, go there. I just pray for discernment and wisdom, because we can hear so many voices. We want to hear God's voice and God's leading. She did visit a naturopathic doctor this week who wants to work with her oncologist and maybe bring some holistic things in. So I don't know. We are just trusting that God is in it. But I have happy news. My beloved turns 80 tomorrow.
To you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Brian, 80 years old.
Happy birthday to you.
After being a stay-at-home dad and praying all these years for my husband to have a job, he's finally got himself a yard crew job through Living Opportunities. Awesome. And he's starting November 4th.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Over here?
Yes, Mary Lou.
Hello. I want to pray for my sister Debbie still. But my sister's daughter has a little girl. I think her name's Madison, and she might have bone cancer.
Oh.
So I'm hoping not, because she's only maybe 10, 12.
Yeah.
Young.
Just a little thing. We will pray. Yeah. Yeah.
Thea and I have these friends. They've been friends of ours for over 50 years. They're called Spencer family. And we found out last week that he has stage 4 lung cancer. And we'd appreciate your prayers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let us not forget that we have a large number of young people from this congregation that are overseas with the military, and who knows with the mess over there.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are in harm's way. They need our prayers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
I have a request. Carrie came into my life when I was at St. Vincent de Paul volunteering, and God works in strange ways. And she is dealing with horrendous emotional problems, and God bless her. Anyway, I would like prayers for Carrie. She's really struggling, and she's such a great person, and she needs our love. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Want to continue to pray for ministries in the church. Invite you all to join us on Wednesday nights, or invite others. We're doing a deep dive into Malachi through inductive study. But pray for these ministries. We have a number of different groups that meet throughout the week. We have also outside groups that come to our church and do study throughout the week. Thursdays, we have community Bible study here, women's Bible study, and then we have the Grove in the evening and the K building. Let's pray for these ministries as well, that God works through them to bring his kingdom to bear more fully here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Gracious God, we open our eyes by closing them. We open our eyes to the fact that we are not calling you down from heaven, that we are not going up to join you, that we open our eyes to see that you are here with us, and you've been here. As we walk through the difficult moments in our lives, difficult moments where friends, family, ourselves deal with cancer, deal with falls, deal with injury and illness, you're right there with us. We open our eyes to the fact that you know what we need at a far deeper level than we recognize. And we just ask, Lord, that we would be aligned with your direction, that you would be with us. We ask for miracles, Lord, knowing that you are here and you are capable of delivering. We ask for healing, that cancer cells would die, that we would live. We ask for healing. We ask for hope. We ask for courage and strength. Whether that's courage for a new job that we're starting or just to face things that were once routine and are no longer because of our changing body. Lord, we also say thank you. Thank you for annual trips around the sun, birthdays, anniversaries, for the joy of loved ones in our lives, and each day being a gift where we get to be present with them. We celebrate this beautiful fall, Lord God, and the ministries of this church within it, and just pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would help us find new ways to expand your kingdom, that more people might know you are Lord and find the joy in relationship with you. We ask this all, Lord Jesus, trusting in your holy name, empowered by your Holy Spirit, and thanking you, Creator God, for all that you have blessed us with. It is within that that we say, in your name be praised. Amen.
Our last hymn this morning is Let All Things Now Living, number 22 in your hymnals. Would you stand, please?
Let all things now living, a song of thanksgiving to God the Creator, triumphantly raise, who fashioned and made us, protected and stayed us, who guides us and leads to the end of our days. His banner is all o'er us, his light goes before us, a pillar of our shining forth in the night, till shadows have vanished and darkness is banished, as forward we travel from light into light. His long he enforces, the stars in their courses, and sun in his orbit obediently shine. The hills and the mountains, the rivers and fountains, the deeps of the ocean proclaim him divine. We still should be voicing our love and rejoicing with glad adoration. A song let us raise, till all things now living unite in thanksgiving to God in the highest, hosanna and praise.
And now, God, as we go forth into this beautiful fall weather, we thank you, Lord, for the changing of seasons, for the signs that times do move on, that nothing on earth is permanent but your love. So let us live into that glory, changing with you, growing deeper with you, sharing that love with all around us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Let us go in peace. Amen.